Does the name Sisyphus ring a bell? Blank stares. I didn't think so. Someone in the back knows who Sisyphus was. Maybe way long time ago as you were reading Greek mythology in school, if you did read Greek mythology in school, you came across the name Sisyphus. His is a good story. He is one of the odd Greek tragic heroes in Greek mythology, and I thought I'd share a little bit of his story with you this morning. Sisyphus was a mortal. He was a human. And he did something that was pretty bad for a human to do. He upset the gods in Greek mythology. Not just any old god, he upsetted Zeus, the big one. Because Sisyphus was a tattletale. And he knew that Zeus, the big god, did something wrong. You see, Zeus stole a woman for himself. And Sisyphus knew this and decided to tell the woman's father about what had happened and got Zeus in trouble. Aren't you glad we don't follow this Greek mythology stuff anymore? The story gets better because Zeus is pretty mad at Sisyphus for what he did. And this was Sisyphus's punishment. Zeus sentenced him to Hades, down in the underworld. It's bad enough to be down there, I understand, but Sisyphus had a special task down there, down in Hades. He was assigned to be at the base of a mountain. And while at the base of a mountain, it was his task to push a rather large boulder up that steep slope of the mountain and get the mountain over the top of the hill and get it over. Did I mention it was a big mountain? Did I mention it was a big boulder and a steep slope? Well, Sisyphus got to work. And he tried and he pushed this big rock up the mountain. And the story goes that he did very well the first time and got the rock just a few feet to the precipice of the mountain. And the weight of the rock got to be too much. And poor old Sisyphus had his boulder fall all the way back down to the base of the mountain. Pretty tragic. It gets even more tragic when the story says that Sisyphus, to this day, is still trying to get that same silly rock over the mountain. But every time he gets just an inch closer to the top of the mountain, he slips, or he falls, or he gets tired, or the rock has a mind of its own, and it falls back down. What a terrible story. But it was an important one to the people of the time. Philosophers over the years have just loved this story for what its meaning is. And I like this story too. Because I think that there's a little bit of Sisyphus in all of us. And we all have different kinds of boulders that we're trying to push in our life. We carry heavy burdens, right? We all have rocks and boulders of different shapes and sizes, different burdens and responsibilities, different weights of guilt and despair. Perhaps for you it's a mountain of grief, a concern about an illness in yourself or a loved one. Maybe it's a future concern. Maybe it's about debt or your career or your relationships. And like each day that Sisyphus got up, we get up like Sisyphus to get to work at the base of our mountain, to push and push and push, hoping that this will be the day that our rock makes it to the top and we don't have to worry about whatever it is we're worried about anymore. But we know that, like Sisyphus, the moment we get close is the moment that things fall apart. The law of gravity takes over. The law of sin and death takes over. And our rock falls to the bottom again. Pushing rocks is never easy. Just ask Mary and Salome and the other Mary who had a concern deep in their hearts one day on a morning like this because they had a rock that they needed to push too. In fact, the scriptures record them asking the question, who's going to roll away the stone for us? And they meant two things by that. They meant not only who's going to remove the stone that was sealing Jesus' tomb so they could get in there and anoint the body with spices, but their stone was also metaphorical too. Because they carried within them all of the burdens that you would expect someone to carry in their situation. Grief over the death of their beloved friend Jesus. This same Jesus who had touched their lives, transformed them, worked miracles all across the land, was an incredible preacher, and touched them all, was now dead and buried. And the thing keeping them from seeing Jesus again was, lo and behold, a big rock. But it was nothing compared to the rock inside their hearts, the rock of grief and despair. And they were wondering, who was going to roll away that stone? They had a rock to roll, and we do too. But you know, the story doesn't end on Friday. The story doesn't end on Saturday. The reason we worship when we do is because the story continued on Sunday morning. And when those three women came to the tomb, a surprising God had another surprise for them. There was an angel sitting on the tomb who said to them, of all things, "Do not be alarmed." Yeah, right. An amazing thing has happened. An angel is speaking to me, and I'm not supposed to be afraid. You could imagine what your reaction would be. But the angel went on. "Do not be afraid, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." Good news. God had rolled away the stone. Not just the stone that blocked the entrance to the cave, but the stone that blocks the freedom of human hearts. A stone that humans could not budge with their own efforts and their own accord, God had done for them. Reminds me of a story about a little boy. I love stories about little boys. This one's about a little boy playing in his backyard sandbox. It had been several months since he had played in this sandbox, but he decided to go out one day with his dump trucks and his pail and his shovel and build the grandest, biggest castle that any little boy his age had ever built in a sandbox his size in a backyard like his. Big dreams for a little boy. There were a couple things blocking his little endeavor. Because when he got out, it was clear that he had not been there in several months. There were leaves and twigs in the sand. And he didn't know how it got there, but in the middle of that sandbox was a rather big rock. And he knew that before he could get to building, he'd need to clear stuff out. So like a Bethel church cleanup day, he started to pick up pine cone after pine cone after miserable pine cone and got it to where he got everything up except for the big rock in the middle. And so he tried to push that rock, and it would move a little bit. Spent a long time pushing that rock because he was too little to lift it. Eventually, he got the rock to the side of the sandbox to where he could only try to pick it up and push it out of the box, but he couldn't do it. Spent a long time that afternoon trying to figure out how to get that rock out. Eventually, the boy gave up, and he started crying. There would be no sandcastle that day. Went back in the house, found his dad reading the paper. The little boy was crying, and he said to his dad, "I can't get the rock out of my sandbox. I just can't get it out." And the dad said, "What have you tried?" And the boy said, "I have tried everything." Dad said, "No, you didn't. You didn't try everything because you didn't ask me for help." The story of the resurrection is a story about what God has done for us, which we could not do for ourselves. Surely there are times when God expects us to work hard in life, to work hard at our Christian walk. It is good to work out our salvation, as John Wesley said. But it is also important to remember that when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to our souls, we cannot make things right on our own. God has done it for us. God is doing it every single day. God, who rolled away the stone, raised Jesus from the dead, is doing it today. As Max Lucado said, God still moves stones. God is still moving stones of grief and despair. And only you know what your stones are today. Only you know what your life is like and how miserable it is to push that rock up that mountain every single day only to see it fall back down. The story of Easter is this. Stop pushing. Stop striving. God's done it. There is an empty tomb and a rolled away stone. Whatever rocks you have to roll, God will help you. Paul said to the church in Corinth, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting?" And that is the question that we mock, that we fly in the face of death today. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting? It's gone because God has removed it. God has removed the law of sin and death over us. God has taken that heavy rock meant for our punishment, rolled it up the hill, got it to the top, and drop-kicked it into eternity. It's gone. The law of sin and death is no longer over us. Which really leaves us with just one question for the morning. What's your response? Having heard what God has done for you, what will you do? Will you do as the women did, and so many disciples did, not believe it at first? Keep the news to yourself. Try to ignore it. Or will you do it the way God wants you to do it and say, "I believe. I accept. I accept God's grace today. I believe in God's power, and I know that God is removing my stones today, transforming my life, just like the first Easter." Whether you are a veteran of many Easters, or this is one of your first, perhaps you can celebrate this Easter the way it was first intended, by giving your life to the rock mover, to the resurrection maker, to the stone drop kicker, because God's still in the resurrection business today. You can look it up in the cosmic yellow pages under R for resurrection, and you will only find one name. God, who raised Jesus from the dead and can raise you to new life today. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.